This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, March 12th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. More people hoping to generate some extra cash to help pay the bills are launching their own vending machine businesses.
Vending machines have a relatively low startup cost. So unlike the idea of buying a whole business, like a laundromat or something, you can get going with vending machines for just a couple $1,000s. The other thing is just that this is a pretty intuitive business model to people. Most people have come across a vending machine in their life, but just the basic premise of you put this box somewhere, you stick some food or drinks in it, and you have people sell it, it just seems to make sense.
So how does it work? We'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELF. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Vending machines have become a popular source of generating passive income. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker joins me. Joe, when we say passive income, what does that mean?
It's a compelling term, and it's also a bit of a tricky one. The purest form of passive income is that you aren't working at all and just letting cash flow in from some source you've set up, maybe like owning a rental property or something. In practice, there are many things that end up under the umbrella term of passive income, and some of them are sort of more low effort than no effort, and vending machines sort of fall under that category.
So how big is the vending machine business in the U.S.?
There are about 3 million vending machines in the country. That's according to a trade group called the National Automatic Merchandising Association. Together, they all sell about $18 billion a year in products. And that means the average machine is generating about $525 in revenue per month.
Oh, so this could be a lucrative business.
Oh, sure. But like any business, it can kind of succeed or fail based on how you operate it. And there are really two reasons why people are drawn to this in particular. One of them is that vending machines have a relatively low startup cost. So unlike the idea of buying a whole business, like a laundromat or something, you can get going with vending machines for just a couple $1,000s. The other thing is just that this is a pretty intuitive business model to people. Most people have come across a vending machine in their life, but just the basic premise of you put this box somewhere, you stick some food or drinks in it, and you have people sell it, it just sort of seems to make sense.
Well, I'm no economist, but I love pretzels, and I guess snacking and getting a case of the munchies is recession-proof.
This is something that people in the vending world remark on often, how there's sort of bottomless demand for these things. Sort of like somebody who gives haircuts for a living. Lots of machines actually do really well, particularly at workplaces where people are sort of a captive audience if they're hungry and want something to eat.
How does somebody acquire a vending machine? Do they have to buy it?
Yeah, the most common place a sort of everyday person would go and get one is something like Facebook Marketplace. You just sort of go online and buy one. You can get a range of different qualities there. Some of them may be less reliable than others, but that's where a lot of people get started.
One of the people you spoke with who has started a vending machine business touted his success in several YouTube videos. Here's a listen.
All right, you guys, we made it to the Vending Bytes headquarters. I actually have all the money that we collected today. So let's go inside and let's count it and see exactly how much the four machines made, which turns out that the first location made $122.60. And the second location, $164.25, bringing the grand total to about $300 after 7 days.
Now, Joe, he's had some success with his vending machines, but what are the costs and challenges involved in starting this kind of business?
He's definitely open about how much work it takes and how many things can go wrong if you try to set up your own vending machine business. There are lots of success stories, but there are also plenty of people who really struggle with it. And a lot of it has to do with the location that you end up placing your machine in. If it doesn't have the right sort of foot traffic, you could be in trouble. I talked with a couple from Alabama that put a machine in a gym, hoping that it would bring them some extra money each month and help them pay the bills. But lately, it's only really been selling about $30 per week, which is well under what they were expecting it to. So some people do have a lot of trouble with this once they get started.
So there's a lot of work here to doing this type of business. Why did people tell you they decided to go down this road?
A lot of it is out of financial need. Some people wanted help just sort of making ends meet, paying the bills each month. Other people wanted to pursue life milestones like buying a house or having kids. And so those things were on the horizon, and they thought that the pay from just their regular day job alone wouldn't be enough for it. And then on a higher level, I think one of the motivations here is just that many people are tired of the time and energy that a 9-to-5 job takes up, and they want to try to find a way to get out of that and, to use a common expression, be their own boss. And many people view vending machines as the ticket to that.
Is this like any other business where it costs money to make money?
Definitely. You have to invest upfront a bit in the machines that you buy. You have to then pay to stock up on product at stores like Costco or Sam's Club. And, you know, you have to pay the occasional maintenance repair fee when the machine breaks down. There's a common moment probably many of us can picture where a bag of chips gets snagged on a coil of a machine. If you're the owner of that vending machine, you're the one who actually has to fix it.
How do the people you spoke with say they started their vending machine business?
A lot of them found the idea online, and that's sort of where they ended up getting a lot of their information, on social media platforms like Reddit or YouTube. And that sort of led them down a process of sort of the two main things you have to do to get this going. One of them is finding a location to put your machine, and the other is actually buying a machine. I list them in that order because some people make the mistake of first buying a machine and then having to store it somewhere for a couple months before they actually have a place to put it. So there are things you might not think of as a beginner here that are important to get, and a lot of people are looking online and on social media for information about that.
From doing the research to actually making money, do people typically want a cut of the proceeds along the way?
Some locations where you'd place a machine would let you do that at no charge, but it's also fairly common for them to ask for a cut of sales, maybe 5% up to 20% or something like that. Others might ask for a flat fee. So sometimes you may have to pay in order to park your machine somewhere.
That's WSJ reporter Joe Pinsker. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with WSJ's Ann Turgeson to discuss another resource people are turning to for some extra cash, their 401k. This episode was produced by me, J.R. Whalen, with supervising producer Melanie Roy and deputy editor Chris Zinsley. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.